Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15 speaks of Christ as the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now, Jesus is not just a king, but he's a king on a specific throne, the throne of David. As David, the second king of Israel, is an ancestor of Christ, he's a type of Christ, and his kingdom is a type of the kingdom of Christ. David's kingdom was an earthly kingdom, surely, and he had many successors until Judah was carried away into captivity. But our lesson considers the role and the significance of the kingdom of David in God's scheme and its relationship to Christ and to the kingdom of Christ. Now, the kingdom of Christ, dear friend, was prophesied to come. When Jacob blessed his sons, he said to Judah, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people." Now, Christ was of the tribe of Judah, Hebrews chapter 7. In Isaiah chapter 2, it speaks of the mountain or the government of the Lord's house, and he called it the house of God, the house of God of Jacob. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, it tells us when the kingdom would come, in the days of these kings, the kings of a fourth empire, Babylon being the first. Then, as history unfolds, there was the Persian and the Grecian and then the Roman, and the kingdom was established in the days of the Roman Empire. In Daniel chapter 7, it says the Son of Man would go to the Ancient of Days and would be given a kingdom. Now, this is the prophecy of the ascension of Christ back to the Father, and he would receive his kingdom. The prophet Zechariah in chapter 6 tells of the king on his throne and being priest in his temple. Hebrews likens Christ to Melchizedek, who was king and priest at the same time. Friend, if Christ is priest, and he is also king. In Isaiah chapter 9, it shows that the government would be upon the shoulders of that Christ that was to be born of the Virgin Mary, the identity being only to Jesus the Christ. Now, it was foretold to Mary concerning Jesus that he would be a king, and the throne was specified to be David's throne, Luke chapter 1. Peter declared him to be on David's throne, Acts chapter 2. And Jesus said he would come to his kingdom, and his kingdom would come in the lifetime of those to whom he spoke, Mark 9 and verse 1. And furthermore, this kingdom would not be an earthly kingdom, John 18 and verse 37. Now, his role as king is repeatedly acknowledged in Scripture. Even though they probably did not fully understand the nature of his kingdom, there were many who served that recognized Jesus to be king. Nathanael, for instance, said, "Thou art the King of Israel," John 1:49. The mother of James and John asked special favors of him for her sons when he came into his kingdom, Matthew 20. And as he entered triumphantly into Jerusalem, the people hailed him, and they said, "Behold, the King cometh," Matthew 21. The thief on the cross asked to be remembered by Christ when he came to his kingdom, Luke 23. Then there was the inscription over his cross, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And Paul preached, "Another King, King Jesus," Acts 17 and verse 7. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, it tells of the kingdom taken from Saul and given to David. 2 Samuel chapter 7 reveals a promise to David that when his days were fulfilled and he slept with his fathers, God would set his seed after him and that one would reign forever. Now, this could not have referred to Solomon, because his reign did not last forever. It ended. But also, Solomon had already been a king before David died. The promised king would come after David died. Now, obviously, this promised king would be before the universal resurrection. And David went to the tomb to await the Lord's return and his resurrection. The tomb would come prior to his resurrection. And significantly, David's throne is also called the throne of Israel, 1 Kings 2. It's called the throne of the Lord, 1 Chronicles 29. The throne of God is called the throne of Christ, Acts chapter 8. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, showed the prophecies regarding the throne and of David had reference to Jesus Christ. And with these prophecies fulfilled, the kingdom came, and it came that day. There's no biblical truth is any more pronounced or certainty than the existence of the kingdom of Christ now. David's earthly kingdom was a type of that which was to come. The nature of the kingdom of Christ was misunderstood while he was here on earth. Some thought it would be an earthly kingdom. It's misunderstood by many even yet today. His is not an earthly kingdom. His kingdom is not bound by the geographical borders that ordinarily are like an earthly kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom was not of this world, John 18:36. It is in his kingdom, but not of, it was in his kingdom, but it is not of this world. It's in the world, but it's not of the world. That's what I wanted to get across. It is spiritual in nature, Luke chapter 17. Christ said, it is within you. Now, his kingdom reigns in the heart and in the mind. His is a spiritual house, a holy nation, 1 Peter 2. And the citizens of it offer up spiritual sacrifices, again, 1 Peter 2 and 5. His throne is in heaven, Stephen said, Acts 7 and verse 49. You see, dear friend, the kingdom of Christ came in the city of Jerusalem just as Isaiah foretold. The apostles had been told to return there and to wait for power to come, and the kingdom would come with power, Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. And that power is identified as the Holy Spirit in Acts 1 and verse 8. It would come after his ascension in the days of the Roman Empire, Daniel 2. These conditions existed with the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost, just as the prophets had prophesied the coming of the kingdom. Now, Jesus did not fail in his mission to establish his kingdom, even though he was rejected. At the last Passover observance, Jesus said he would not commune with his disciples again with the Lord's Supper until the kingdom, Matthew chapter 26. The communion was a reality, however, in the life of those in the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You see, friend, those in the church were in the kingdom and were communing with Christ. Furthermore, those in the church in Colossae were said to have been delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1 and verse 13. And did not John say that he was in the kingdom, as well as those to whom the book of Revelation was originally sent, Revelation 1 and verse 9? What does this mean? This means that Christ reigns now. The kingdom exists now. He has been raised to the right hand of God, Acts 2, denoting his rank and authority. This is as has been prophesied, and he has been raised into heaven to sit on the right hand of God, angels and authorities subject unto him. All authority is his, Matthew 28. But he has been raised to sit on the throne, Acts chapter 2. Therefore, he sits at the right hand of God, and that is to sit on the throne. He serves as high priest now, Hebrews 3 and verse 1. And if he's priest now, he's king now, as was foretold by Zechariah, and after the order of Melchizedek. He has the key of David, a symbol of authority, Revelation 3:7. Why, there's no question that the kingdom now exists. We don't wait for his kingdom to be established. Christ is on his throne today, and his kingdom is a spiritual one, the antitype of David's earthly kingdom. Nor will Christ set up an earthly kingdom when he comes again, as the false doctrine of premillennialism contends. In fact, it's an impossibility that he would do so if the scriptures are true. Do you realize that in Jeremiah 22 and verse 30, it tells about the last kings of earthly Judah? And those kings were Josiah and Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Coniah, and Zedekiah. Of Coniah it was written. Now listen to these words. This is significant. It says, "Write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David, ruling any more in Judah." Now, the significance of that is, Jerusalem is in Judah. The false theory of premillennialism says that Christ is going to set up a kingdom there in Jerusalem as his capital and rule for 1,000 years. Jeremiah says it's not so. None of the descendants of Coniah, of which Christ is one, was going to reign any more in Jerusalem. No fleshly descendant of Coniah would ever reign there again. And it's false to teach that it would. When Jesus comes again, friend, it's not going to be to set up a kingdom. It's already set up. It's going to be to deliver up the kingdom to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. And just how anyone who claims to be faithful to the Word of God can contend for the premillennial theory, why, it's an absurdity. This doctrine is degrading to Christ, and it removes him from his throne. Well, how does one become a citizen in the Lord's kingdom? Why, the same way he becomes a member of the church, because the church is the kingdom, and the kingdom is the church. As one man has said, the church is to the kingdom the same thing an automobile is to a car. Christ said he would build his church. He gave the keys to the kingdom. The churches in Asia were in the kingdom. Members of the church were fellow citizens in the kingdom with the saints. The Colossian church was in the kingdom. And when people heard the word, believed the word, and obeyed that word in repentance and confession of Christ and baptism into Christ, they were translated, they were changed, they were born again. They entered into the kingdom as new creatures, John 3. Those who are in the kingdom are those who will do the Father's will. It's not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. It's those who do the Father's will. And friend, we're trying to persuade one and all. Simply humble yourself and submit yourself to the commandments of God and obey what the Lord has said. And when you obey his will, he will add you to his church, Acts 2:47. He will make you a citizen in the kingdom. You will have the promises and the assurances that when our Lord Jesus comes again, and he is coming, that's a promise that he will fulfill. When he comes again, you'll be delivered to the Father with all of the faithful that are in the kingdom. So we plead for Christ. We plead for his kingdom, which is the church. We plead for you to be in that kingdom, that you might know the joy and the happiness and the peace in this life, and that you might live in heaven with God eternally. Thank you for listening. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.